Today on the Political Theory of Everything, I will be giving you your daily dose of news for today's date, Friday, August 13th. To start off our news, we have an article from the Daily Wire, the title of this one, Stanford Reverses Policy Will Now Require Weekly COVID-19 Testing Regardless of Vaccination Status. Alrighty, so some colleges have done this. I know that CNU has, but now we have Stanford now. Whether you're vaccinated or not, you are going to be tested. So there's that. Here we go. Stanford University has instructed students from around the globe returning for the fall quarter that they must take a COVID-19 test before school begins and undergo weekly testing moving forward regardless of vaccination status. The requirement applies to all students residing on campus, living in university-provided off-campus student housing, or coming to campus. Vice Provost for Student Affairs Susie Brubaker Cole told students in an email on Wednesday that the university developed new health and safety requirements, quote, to minimize the prevalence and reduce the spread of COVID-19 on our campus, end quote. She continued on to write, quote, working together, we can monitor the prevalence of COVID-19 at Stanford, adjust requirements as needed, protect our friends and family, and keep campus as safe as possible for in-person learning and activities this summer and autumn. If we need to make adjustments, we will let you know, end quote. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, the testing would mark a reversal of the school's initial policy for vaccinated students. So I'm guessing that originally only unvaccinated had to be tested, but now vaccinated as well. So they then reiterated that face coverings are still mandatory indoors and that all students must be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. So there it is. And then obviously are required, then you have, you know, your health and religion exemptions. So them, they are required to get there a week early to complete entry testing, vaccination, and a period of restricted activity. So those are for unvaccinated. And then the people who can't get vaccinated, I don't know, for them. It doesn't specify in this article. But there it is. Yeah, so that's that article. We'll see other universities, I'm sure, follow the similar change in their guidelines. CNU already did, so we'll see here. Next article, CNN, Mars on Earth, apply for NASA's simulated Martian mission. So we talked about Mars last time, and now we're going to talk about Mars again. If you ever dreamed of what it might be like to live on another world, here's your chance. Applications are now open to participate as a crew member in NASA's first one-year simulation of living on Mars. If you succeed, you'll be one of four people living and working in a habitat called Mars Dune Alpha at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston. Applications are open through September 17th, and the mission is slated to begin in fall of 2022. It's first of 3 one-year missions called Crew Health and Performance Exploration Analog, or CHAPEA, CHAPEA, to help NASA prepare for the challenges astronauts may face when they finally get the chance to explore and live on the Red Planet in future human missions. Quote, the analog is critical for testing solutions to meet the complex needs of living on the Martian surface, end quote, said Grace Douglas, who is the lead scientist for NASA's Advanced Food Technology Research effort at Johnson Space Center, in a statement. They're looking for highly motivated U.S. citizens or permanent residents between 30 and 55 years old who are healthy and non-smokers. So there is that. We'll see what happens with this. And see, the article continues, but we'll see what happens with this and see who ends up making it into that program, but that'd be a very cool thing. So there you go with that, continuing on the Mars front there. Now we move on to Fox News, which we didn't get to cover last night due to the videos, but here we are. Fox News, title, Albuquerque school shooting leaves one dead, student detained. Subtitle, Washington Middle School gunfire marked the second shooting in Albuquerque in less than 24 hours. All right. I heard this on the way home on the radio, and I thought, well, here's an article about it from Fox News, so why not talk about it? So, one student was killed and another was taken into custody Friday after a shooting at a middle school near downtown Albuquerque during the lunch hour, police said. The gunfire at Washington Middle School marked the second shooting in Albuquerque in less than 24 hours. The city is on pace to shatter its homicide record this year, having already matched within the first 8 months of the year the previous annual high of 80 homicides set in 2019. Quote, I want to send out my thoughts and prayers to all of our students, all of our families, that are impacted by this horrible event, end quote, said Albuquerque Superintendent Scott Elder during a news conference with police. So Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham said Friday that she was heartbroken and more work needs to be done to address gun violence in the state. Albuquerque Police Deputy Commander Kyle Hartsock described the shooting as an isolated incident between the two students who were believed to be about 13 years old. He said a school resource officer then ran towards the two boys after gunfire erupted and prevented any other violence. Hartsock said investigators were trying to determine how the one student obtained the gun and what may have prompted the shooting. He said other students will be interviewed as detectives try to piece together what happened. The school was locked down and parents were asked to pick up their children. So this was their third day of classes for the school district. And the students won't return until Tuesday. They're going to prepare basically counseling and those for any students who need it, and just preparation for teachers and anyone who needs help or anything like that. But police said there will be more officers present when the students return, hoping to provide a sense of security and in case students have any more information about the shooting. So the previous one, how it said it was the second one, the other one was at a sports bar and restaurant near a busy Albuquerque shopping district. Police said one person was killed and three were injured after someone pulled out a gun during a fight. No arrests have been made in that case. Investigators were reviewing surveillance video and interviewing witnesses. So, there we are for that one. A very unfortunate situation, but we'll see how this is resolved in the end. But until then, we move on to CBS News. So this one has been in the news quite a bit lately, and we've talked about it previously, but here we are. Title, as Afghanistan's provincial capitals fall to the Taliban, Biden remains quiet. As Afghanistan's provincial capitals fall to the Taliban one by one, and as many U.S. embassy personnel in Kabul evacuate, President Biden stepped aboard Marine One in Delaware en route to Camp David without publicly addressing the situation in Afghanistan for another day. Mr. Biden made no remarks about the rapidly deteriorating situation in Afghanistan since Tuesday, as the Taliban swiftly unravels two decades of U.S. investments in the nation and jeopardizes Afghan lives. On Tuesday, 2 days before he ordered the reduction of civilian personnel at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, the president said he didn't regret his decision to withdraw troops from Afghanistan by the end of August. A U.S. defense official told CBS News correspondent David Martin that while there has been no official update to the estimate that the capital of Kabul could fall to the Taliban in as little as 30 days, quote, it could go faster, end quote. The president talked about how we spent over a trillion dollars over the past 20 years, yet we are happy to spend $5 trillion in about a month with those two ginormous bills. Think about COVID, like, 20 years, like, now we're worried about spending money? I mean, it's just ironic. Let's see. Basically, it continues saying how the White House is saying that they're very engaged on the issue, and that the White House is basically just going to watch the Taliban very closely, and that just a bunch of other comments on it. But this is the situation still going on, obviously, in the Middle East, and the pullout from the Middle East. And it's interesting that one of the reasons is money, because that's one of the last issues that people are thinking about nowadays. The left, at least, mainly with their big spending bills, with the infrastructure bill, and then the package bill that they want to get done with $3.5 trillion plus the 1.5-ish from the infrastructure bill. I mean, that's $5 trillion in the span of like a month. Versus 20 years spending $1 trillion or more, a bit more. So very interesting things, but quite ironic, quite opposite. But here we go, the blaze, final one. CNN runs misleading report on Florida COVID teacher deaths and gets torched online, quote, this is absurd framing, end quote. So, CNN faced some fierce backlash online after running a misleading report about the coronavirus deaths among teachers in Florida. The report documented 4 deaths in one single day among teachers in the Broward County School District. CNN anchor Brianna Kyler posted the video of her reaction to the news on her social media account. So they basically said that these 4 teachers had died. I guess it says in the article, but basically CNN and their thing said breaking news, 4 teachers died in Broward County, and 3 of them were unvaccinated, the 4th one's unknown. But this is what actually happened. So, Fusco later admitted, so the report apparently came from the Broward Teachers Union President Anna Fusco. Okay, and then it was then corrected later by President Anna Fusco, and she said, she admitted that the union had mistakenly reported 4 teachers had died of COVID-19. Instead, 2 teachers and a teacher aide had died of COVID. All of them had been, none of them had been vaccinated, and they were all in their 40s. Critics online immediately noted that the absurd framing of the story at CNN implied the teachers had contracted the virus at school, but they had not. Broward County has not started school yet, so they would not have contracted it at school. They were just contracting it in their everyday life, and they're trying to use this as an argument inside of schools, but yet there's still no evidence of it in schools being an issue yet. And so it doesn't really work, and that's where people are attacking them, like, hey, you can't use this as an argument when it's not even related to schools. They just happen to be teachers. And so there is that. Florida is apparently, Florida is experiencing a spike in the coronavirus infections and hospitalizations, leading many to blame the policies of Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. Others accuse media outlets like CNN of trying to damage DeSantis because he was a prominent supporter of former President Donald Trump. So there is that article. There's also one from the Texas Tribune, I believe, or Tribune, where they said that Texas in the last week has had 5,800 pediatric hospitalization, 5,800 in the past week. They then came out and apologized and said, okay, we got that wrong. There was 5,800 hospitalizations since coronavirus started. So very, very 2 exceedingly different scenarios. But that's where you see this misinformation or this push, so hard to push the narrative, you end up using the numbers wrong, whether on purpose or accident. Because you can always fix them later, you know, after everyone's read them. You can always fix it later after everyone's read the article. But, while the article's still first getting out, you leave it in there so that people read it and think that number in their head, even though that's not the correct number, and that might be something that happened there. But they said that 5,800 pediatric hospitalizations in the past week, when actuality it was in the past year and a half. So just watch out on the media for their twisting of things and their the lies and mishaps that they have. They're not always right. Even if the Texas Tribune meant no harm by that and genuinely messed up, it still shows that they are not always 100% correct, even if they have the best intent in their heart, which they don't. But even if they did, it shows that they aren't always right and that they can mess up. And so don't always just take everything for face value. And it's even more so for social media. Don't just take everything for face value, because that's kind of pathetic. But that's why here we take multiple sources. We've talked about this before. Take multiple sources, compare all the stories, actually go and watch the video yourself, actually go and listen to the speech, actually go and read the bill or whatever it is yourself, read the statement, read the transcript, actually watch what people say instead of just saying, well, CNN told me this, Fox News told me this. Actually go and watch the video yourself and see genuinely what the person said. Go do your own research. Don't be lazy. And if you aren't going to do your own research, then you cannot go then saying things to other people, because you haven't done your own research on it. You just took someone else's. So genuinely go do your own research on things. Look up opposing sides and such, and try to find out a genuine mixture of the two, or even if only maybe one side is right about something, but try to at least look at both sides and not be pathetic and only look at the one, and that's it, and never compare to the other side or look at the other side's argument. Great examples brought up today. And so until next time, have a wonderful rest of your Friday and a wonderful rest of your weekend. Thank you so much for listening.